Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's a privilege. I do not take this for granted. To share God's word the way how he wants me to share. How we should share the word the way how he wants us to share. Now, before we go into God's word, I just want to give an update. This is regarding Ruth Fernando. Ruth Fernando, as you know, she underwent a heart transplant surgery last year. Ruth and her family left Sri Lanka in mid-August. Her father prayerfully donated 1/4 of his liver. So this procedure took 3 months. Preparation, surgery, and recovery. There were setbacks. Ruth's father suffered with pneumonia. Ruth suffered with various infections. Praise God. Our prayers were answered. And at the end of November, as a family, they returned from India to Sri Lanka. Ruth was advised not to go to school for 6 months. She's doing well at the moment. And possibly in the month of May, she will start going to school. At this time, I want to praise God and thank God for those who helped to raise funds for any complications after the surgery, and want to thank Wantona Church for giving us their hall free, and also came and helped. I want to thank Shirley Deva, who worked tirelessly. A special mention to the Sikh community, who provided food for 175 people free of charge on behalf of Ruth. So I personally want to thank God for all, thank everyone for your prayerful support for Ruth and her family. Ruth is doing well thus far because God's grace and your support. Thank you. So before we go any further, let's all bow our heads and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. We cannot stay thanking you for the many privileges that you've given us. Lord, we are sinners. We have come short of your glory as a sheep has gone astray. Lord, give me the words. Let the words I pray that should come from you. Bless me, give me the courage, and help me to deliver this message with your help, with your grace. Please bless all who are here and all online. Lord, I pray that this Sabbath will be a glorious Sabbath. We ask in Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay. Today's message is entitled Such a Time as This. Friends, we are living in an age where things are rolling around us, where things are happening around us. And we take many times for granted. A Sabbath, another month, a quarter, half a year, 1 year. We are now coming to in the new year, 2025. Amos was one of the minor prophets. There were 12 minor prophets in the Bible. He was a powerful figure whose words echoed throughout centuries. His story begins in a small village called Tekoa, located about 10 miles south of Jerusalem. Amos did not come from a priestly lineage. He was not a prophet, nor he was a son of a prophet. He was a shepherd and a sycamore fig farmer. An ordinary man called to provide an extraordinary message. The name Amos means burden bearer. What a meaning is that? Can we have that name? Burden bearers? The one who carries heavy responsibility as a divine messenger. Amos lived during the reign of Jeroboam II. Now Jeroboam II, he was a very successful king. He was flourishing in material prosperity, safety, creating false sense of security. In an era like this, God calls Amos, go to Israel and to tell what's going to happen if you continue the way how you are leading now. So, what was the situation in Israel at that time? They were making money. They were exploiting the poor. Slavery. And corruption, injustice. So the central theme in his prophecies, Amos is a clear example that God can call anyone, regardless of our background or about occupation, to fulfill God's plans. Amos 5, chapter 5, verse 4 says, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel. He's telling us, seek me and live. So God is telling me today to seek him and to live by his character, the way how he wants me to live. So Amos speaks directly to the human heart, calling for justice, righteousness, true worship. What do you mean by true worship? What is true worship for me? What is true worship for you? Amos becomes a symbol of courage and commitment to the divine truth. His mission as a prophet was not easy. Amos faced opposition and rejection, especially from religious and political authorities. So when he went to Israel, when he spoke to the chief priest, he was not welcome, because his message was not in line with a message that they wanted to preach. So Amos was clear. He is on a mission
And he wants to tell what God wanted him to tell at that time. He felt threatened by his condemnations. So the message of Amos was not a message that will be music to their ears. Therefore, he knew that he is going to have opposition. So today, as we live in 2025, if we can see what's happening around us and the messages what we hear, are they appealing to me? Are they appealing to you? So despite of these rejections and tough times, he was faithful to his calling, proclaiming the divine truth with boldness. Now this word boldness is something that will be an ingredient in our Christian living. When Esther was called by his uncle Mordecai, and he said, if you stay in your palace comfortable while all the Jews get, when they get wiped out, remember, you come from the same family. And you know, during that time, if you want to go in the presence of the king, you have to get prior permission. If you go without his permission, you are done. So we find in a time such as that time, Esther told his uncle Mordecai, you pray that God will give me the strength to go and to vindicate the truth about the plot of Haman. Today, my friends, do we have a role like that? Do we live in a time such as Esther's time, such as Amos's time? So here we find Amos going and preaching. He's telling first, his message was twofold. One to the surrounding nations of Israel. Now, this is a very interesting thing. If I can get this correct. There you go. You find Israel in the middle. Surrounding nations. Damascus, Ammon, Moab, Edom, Gaza. These are all who? They were giving endless trouble to Israel. And Israel, where? They are caught up right in the middle. Today, my friends, as God's people, chosen people, do I feel that we are in the same danger as the time of Amos? If we know what we are supposed to do, if we are aware what God wants individually to young people, to middle-aged people, to senior people, are we surrounded with this type of situation today? If you turn the telly on, you can tell. The news is mostly what? Is negative. There was a company that ran a media. They want to proclaim everything positive. Positive, Positive. You know what happened to them? They went bankrupt. But today, if you're on the telly, they're not telling the negative things because they want to be in business. But it is truth, nothing but the truth. So today, my friends, I have to realize, where am I living? What am I doing? And where am I going? So we find that Amos was in a situation where he was surrounded with his own people. The chief priest told him, "You are despising our king, Jeroboam 2, and you are bringing curses upon this flourishing country. Go away. Go to Judah. And you prophesy from there." My friends, if you are Amos, and if you are doing God's work, if you are expecting a bed of roses, you're living in the wrong place. I'm living in the wrong place. The moment you want to do what God wants you to do, there will be objections. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. There was a boy who came to our church. He had to leave his home because his father gave an option. If you want to go to school on Saturday, you can stay under my umbrella. If you think that you want to go to church on Saturday, then you go and stay with the church. It so happened, the father gave many, many opportunities, and there was one fine day he said, "This is the last morning. You heed or you have to take a decision. You want the father, comfortable home, go to school on Saturday, or you go to church and then you can look after yourself." So he was convinced that God wants him to keep the Sabbath. He goes to the church. It was a Sunday and it was a day of recreation. We have people playing table tennis and whatnot. And then he had the trust in God. But he was still a playful boy. But he had the determination to do what God wants him to do, in spite of even his own father giving him a choice, church or home. On Sabbath, you go to school, or you can go to church and look after yourself. So they had a board meeting. And in the board meeting, the elder presented this boy's name, and he said, "This is the situation." Now, what would he expect the pastor to tell, being the chairman of the board? What do you think he's going to do? He tells to the church board members, "I observed this boy. In my opinion, I feel that I'm not convinced that he is a fair risk." What? A boy who forsakes his parents, his house, and hear the pastor is telling that he is not in favor. That's what exactly what happened here. When Amos went and told the high priest said, "Stop cursing. Go to your town in Judah. And you want to prophesy, do whatever you want there." Dear friends, today, things may be comfortable, things may go well for us today. How about tomorrow? How about middle of this year? How about end of this year? How about years to come? Do you think life is just going to keep on rolling, rolling, rolling? You can see in the whole world, there's turmoil. There's problems. And God has given us, God has given me His message very clear that in the last days, when we do what God says, especially being Sabbath keepers, Satan will attack us. His attacks, we don't know where it's going to come from. For this boy, it came from his church pastor. But do you know something? Praise God. God is good all the time. The elder rose up and he said, Pastor, thank you very much for your opinion. Being an elder of this church, I have observed this boy. And I have decided to help him. So with your permission, I want to show of hands from the members. Who is willing to help this boy? Dear friends, everyone except the pastor, put their hand up. I mean, when a church pastor says no, how can a church board go against him? Praise God. This is a sad part, what we are. When he eventually progressed on 3, 4, 5, 6 years, the same pastor walked into his college where he was doing his theological studies. And he told this boy, I'm so sorry. At that church board meeting, I didn't realize that I should have supported you. To cut the long story short, this same pastor got involved in the act of adultery and he was excommunicated from the church. Dear friends, when this boy heard that the pastor asking him, I'm sorry, the boy's reply was, Pastor, you have already confessed to God. You are free. Be happy. So my dear friends, as we continue on this one, here we find Amos' message to the Israelites. He says, great calling, great responsibility comes with great consequences. He says here, great calling, great responsibility comes with great consequences. What does this mean? If when God gives us the truth, nothing but the truth, there follows the responsibility. And if we follow His leadings, just like how Enoch, when he was living in the country, and what he did was, he went to the city and he preached the word of God. Enoch walked with God. He talked with God. Dear friends, am I talking and walking with God? Are you talking and walking with God? Where did we come from? What are we doing? Where are we going? Three questions. Where did we come from? What are we doing today? And where are we going? If I do not know these things, that means I'm just floating, expecting things to fall in place. We find that Amos When God called him to go and give this message, he rose. He left his farm. He left his sheep. And he went in, and he went and did this great work for God. This slide says, exploring the relationship between God, justice, and mercy. What does justice and mercy means to me? What does it mean to you? First and foremost, he must control evil among his own people in Israel. What does Amos say? He says, have you forgotten? Your forefathers were slaves for 430 years in Egypt under the iron fist of Pharaoh. And you cried out for 430 years. And God rose, God brought Moses on the platform, who ran away to Midian because he wanted to do God's work with good intentions, mind you. But he became a murderer. As a result, he had to run. But when God calls Moses, Moses was a trained person in Pharaoh's army. He got a training in education, in warfare, everything. But God could not use him. Why? Because God does in our lives in his own way. So therefore in Midian, when he was 40 years looking after his father-in-law's sheep, God had to undo all his education, all his fighting ability, and God had to strip him from that level all the way up to the ground. Dear friends, if God calls me to do that, am I willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? That's the only way that God was able to make Moses to leave Midian, even though he gave so many excuses. He said, when I go there, who is your God? What is his name? And what was God's reply? I am that I am. But I can't talk. I'm a stammerer. And God says, I'll give you your brother Aaron. So with God's encouragement, he was shown his responsibility. As a result, he went in faith. Dear friends, the way how Moses, how Amos, how Queen Esther took their responsibility, which we just saw earlier, comes with consequences. I just want to bring to my notice, I have a question that I want to ask myself. Noah preached for 120 years. 120 years. God says, build the ark, put the animals in the order that he wants us to put, right? And bring people into the ark. He was what? They made fun out of him. They mocked him. But yet, Noah trusted God. He did what God asked him to do. Today, my friends, are we doing God's work? Are we walking in God's way? Are we following God's plans? Or are we walking in our own way? Thinking that tomorrow will be okay. as they say here. Huh? Or they say, it'll be okay. This is a slogan that I hear for the last 40 years in this country. It'll be okay. And we find that wherever Moses went, God was with him. Whenever he was in a tight situation, Pharaoh's army behind, one side is the desert, one side is the hills, and in front, what? The Red Sea. And people said, Moses, why did you bring us here? We are trapped. We can't go back because Pharaoh is up there. We can't go for the water is there. This side the desert, this is the mountain. What are you doing with us? We should have stayed back where? In Egypt. But Moses was unmoved. Because you know why? Because Moses was walking and talking with God. God was his only and primary person in his life where he was able to do what God wants him to do. As a result, God tells Moses, he says, Lord, what should I do now? Remember the staff I gave you? And we find the Red Sea opens. Dear friends, is the Red Sea opening in our lives? Did we come to church today to hear a message, to participate, to sing, and then to go home? People say, from 1844 up till today, the Adventist who are expecting the Advent, they are preaching year after year, year after year, year after year. And Christ hasn't come. I just ask myself, what if I die today? When I go to sleep, right? There was an accountant in a college. He was a financial controller. He had a chest pain. So the principal told, why don't we go and get yourself checked up? He said, no, I got some native medications, you know, some alternative medications, I'll be okay. The principal said, all right. The night came, the morning came, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, he's supposed to come to his office. He was not there. 10, 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock, not to be seen. So they sent a few people just to go and find out what had happened to him. Dear friends, he suffered a massive heart attack. He was only 39 years of age. 39 years of age. Imagine a person who's 39 forfeiting his life. He was dead in his room. They had to break open the door and get him out. So, dear friends, the message of Joel is twofold. One to the world around us, our community. Are we witnessing for God? To witness for God, for me to witness for God, am I studying God's word diligently, prayerfully, among my church brethren, with my pastor, with my elder, with my wife, with my son? How can I go and witness to the world just like Amos if I'm not convinced myself? So, dear friends, today we have good people. We do the best what we can. And we expect God to save you and God to save me. But the thing is, what is God's standard? What is God's plans? When the high priest told Amos, go away. You know what happened to the high priest? The Bible says that he was killed by foreigners. His daughters, what happened to his daughters? They became prostitutes. Dear friends, these are serious things, Lord, in the Bible. When we see, as we read before, that when we have responsibilities, we also have consequences. My brother told me one day, hey Sam, you go to church regularly. I know God is going to bless you. When you go to heaven, I won't be there. I know my lifestyle. But he got bit. He had a sense of humor. He told, hey, can you tell God, my brother is burning in hellfire, right? Can you promote him to the place where I am? It sounds like a joke, isn't it? And you know something? I became also jovial. I told, yes, my brother, yes, I'm going to tell God. And God is elevating you from the hellfire to the heavenly shores. Here we are walking weekly, monthly, years, 100 years goes. And then one day my brother comes and asks me, hey, Sam, is there a bottle shop in heaven somewhere? I tell him, nah, there are no bottle shops here. That's okay, that's all right. I can do without it, that's all right. Another 100 years, 200 years goes, and he asks the same question. Sam, is there a pub around the corner here? I said, no. He said, that's okay. I can do without it. And after some time, he comes and says, Sam, can you ask your God to send me back to hell where I was, where Satan gives me the alcohol and whatever? So I go to God and said, Lord, demote my brother back to hell. Dear friends, responsibilities have consequences. The prodigal son who was in the house, looked after by his father, making his dad happy, doing his work, he was lost in the house. When the brother came, when there was a great party, he came and told his father, hey, I've been working for you all these days. You didn't put a party for me. The father said, all what I have is yours. But this son of yours, this brother of yours, he was dead and he's alive. So we find the prodigal's brother was lost in the home. In other words, I can be lost in my church here. You can be lost in the church here. Whereas a prodigal was, where was he lost? He was lost in the world. So, when it comes to our responsibility, the life that we lead, are we really enjoying our life? Are we really following God's plans? Can we see the leading of God in our lives? Can we? Can you? Can I? Dear friends, if I cannot see God's leading my life, I'm a dead person just walking around, doing my work, coming to church, help others. God has to be real in my life. Do you have the assurance? Do I have the assurance that we will be saved in the eternal kingdom? Do we? Do we have any doubts? Having doubts, is it a sin? No. I was advised, treat doubt as a doubt and truth as truth. Don't confuse truth with doubt. That's what Satan wants us to do. So we might have many questions to ask God. And do you know something? He's there waiting to answer your questions and my questions. So today, my appeal to myself and to you, is God real in our lives? Is salvation, is it a dream or is it a reality? Is salvation, is it a dream or a reality? For the people who lived during the time of Noah, hearing Noah for 120 years, depends on their lifespan. And we find poor Noah could not get one church president. He could get one secretary. He could not get one treasurer. He could not get even his neighbor. Just him, his wife, his two sons, and his two daughter-in-laws. Do you know, my friends, the ark had more animals than human beings. The ark had more animals than human beings. So today, we are marching to Zion. Do we talk the talk, walk the walk with God? If not, do you think we should reconsider? It all depends on my brother told me, I won't be in heaven, right? But you just promote me to heaven from hell. And you know something? God wants all of us to be in the glory land. He wants every one of us to be saved. And does he have the power to save all of us? Of course. Then why am I not saved? Why? Because God has given me the power of choice. He gave the power of choice to Amos. He gave the power of choice to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Either to bow down to the image or go into the 7 times heated furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, King, oh King. He said, I'll give you another opportunity to bow down, because he was so embarrassed. Because while the entire, all the people are bowing down, only these three stood straight up. Do you know, my friends, when the second time when the music went on, if Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, even if they didn't bow down, even if they done the head like that, maybe the king don't let him go. We let him go because he was embarrassed. He told king, there's no need. There's no need for you to do it again, because we will only serve the living God. And he will, according to his will, he could save us. Or if he die, just like Stephen, when he was stoned to death, he was willing to die for God. He exposed all the sins of the Israelites from when? All the way from Abraham, all the way up to his time. And who gave the orders to stone and kill him of that day? The people who had the power, people had high positions, they said, get rid of him. Jesus Christ, when he was living, he was doing God's work just like the way how Amos did. And was he welcomed by his own people? No, his own people rejected him. His own church rejected him. So my dear friends, can we see the battle is on? Can we see, can we foresee what's going to happen to you and to me? So, dear friends, is salvation, is it a dream or is it a reality? I pray that salvation will be real to me and real to you. So in order to do that, what should we do? Do we have to unwind everything what we did? Jesus says, ye that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. He just says, just leave. Just give yourself to me and I will do the rest. Dear friends, today is my salvation. Today is your salvation. Yesterday is gone. Today is our salvation. Tomorrow is not ours. May not come to me. So therefore, when we think of the here we find that Amos, it comes with a spirit level. And he tells them, if you're building your wall, if you're building your character, make sure you use the spirit levels. What happens? If you build the wall without these instruments, how will your wall be? And also he says in his vision that God gave, he says that we are just like a bowl of fruits that looks outside nice and beautiful. But he tells the fruit bowl, but is there, you can see, just on the right, just to have it now, but it's going to rot. So God gives visions to Amos to go and check your ways. He says what? The Lord says, seek me and I will find you. So dear friends, as we are coming to a conclusion to what God wants me to share today, if I can't find my what he called up, it's right here. Okay. We know the song, The Holy City. It's a beautiful song. Right? I love it. But my question is today, Sam, is the holy city, is it a dream or a reality? So today, I want to thank my friend. Just give me 1 minute. I want to thank my friend, Tim Jacks, whom you know very well. I wish he was here. But wherever he is, I pray that God will bless him. He is going to share a song which has been pre-recorded. So this song was composed and he played and he sang. At this time, we will hear the song, The Holy City. Thank you.